Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
And this is the podcast where comedians drink beer, talk about weird, wacky, crazy, wild stuff. Today we're talking about the Griotta Treaty.
Ooh.
One of the most important treaties ever signed by the United States of America. Most people never even heard of it.
Yeah, I have not.
Well, I'm excited to share it with you. We are here in the studio. Mm-hmm. We are very thankful mm-hmm. for our patrons mm-hmm. who give us a little money. Mm-hmm. We once again, I think it's our third or fourth episode in a row, we have a small live audience joining us in the studio. So if you hear laugh in the background, it's not a laugh track.
Big dudes, small amount currently.
Big dudes?
Yeah, they're very tall people.
They're extremely tall.
Only two of them, but they're bigger than
small amount. A lot of height.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, we've got that. What else? We're going to be at the Campout Festival.
Yeah, 9th through 11th. I'm excited about that. A lot of great acts. John Reap. We have Mike Kaplan.
Oh, John Reap's great.
Yeah, Mike Kaplan's going to be there. I've opened Mike Kaplan a few times. A bunch of great comics.
Yeah.
And including, great artists.
I'm going to do a set.
Yeah.
Outdoors.
I haven't decided if I'm doing one yet.
You should. And we're also going to do a live podcast.
Also, one of our patrons will be there.
That's right.
Yeah, Zombie Turtle Draw. We'll he'll be in the artist row.
Right. And so, please come out and join us. Other than that, man, I'm ready to rock and roll. I'm jacked for this.
Yeah, okay. I'm so jacked.
And I'm really excited to bring in our guest for this week. He is a local hip hop artist here from Raleigh. He went to NC State, founded a very important band for our area, a hip hop band, Cooley High, and has continued on with a solo career. Welcome to the show, Tab One.
What's going on?
What up?
Good to be here. Appreciate it. Big fan of the podcast.
Oh, well, thanks. That feels nice.
So we were talking before. You graduated from NC State 2005.
Yeah.
And then...
Or 06.
06, yeah.
Yeah.
Took you 6 years.
6 years.
Were you doing... Is that because you were doing music at the time and it was hard to...
It's because I was a bad student.
Hell yeah.
ECU
mentality at NC State.
I was trying to give you that way out.
I was very focused on music, and I went to college because that's what you're supposed to do.
That's right. That's what you're supposed to do.
And then I had no clue what the hell.
What was your major?
I ended up in Parks and Rec with a concentration in tourism management.
Oh, wow.
Which I've never used.
So when you were graduating... Your last couple of years, last couple semesters.
Yeah.
Where were you career-wise at that point? Where was Cooley High at that point?
Let's see. That was 06. I mean, Cooley was really in its infancy, I would say, because I was in another group called Influential before Cooley that had relatively good success. So that was kind of the big thing at the time. And then Cooley was just kind of getting off the ground, but it started shifting to where Cooley was kind of taking off more. So
but when you're like in class the last couple semesters, are people know that you're a rap? Like
no, hip-hop, that, you no, know? Nobody. Maybe a couple of people.
Right.
But I was pretty. I kind of just kept to myself. I didn't talk to many people in class.
Yeah. You're like, he has bars. I don't think so.
Yeah. It was like no way that kid raps.
I don't think so. Yeah, Parks and Rec doesn't scream secret hip-hop artist.
No, not at
that's
all.
That should be a reality show. It's like Undercover Boss, but it's a secret hip-hop artist.
That's good.
You're a conspiracy fan, though?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a... I went down quite a few wormholes in my life. Around the time I moved to New York, specifically, when YouTube was just, at its peak.
Oh, it was so good
You know, conspiracy videos with everything spelled wrong, and you're like, "Yeah, this guy knows what he's talking about."
The good old days of conspiracies.
We're gonna hear one of those today.
Oh, good. That's exciting.
Yeah, I like the old grainy conspiracy videos a lot.
Yeah, I miss them. They're hard to find now.
They've taken a lot of them down.
Yeah.
Well, they have like 146 views, and you're like, "I know this had a million the last time I watched it."
Yeah,
when I watch it again, it's got 140.
I like to say that about my comedy videos. No, I swear, you guys, this had a lot more.
I swear, it had millions.
Yeah, it did. Come on.
I'm excited to talk about the Griotta Treaty because I just finished reading a book called Behold a Pale Horse by Bill Cooper, which is a...
You read that book?
I read it.
It's a fever dream, right?
Billy Cooper.
Old Billy. We'll hear from Billy later.
Billy.
But it really tells it in just an amazing story, and I want to just focus on one piece of it, which really starts almost 70 years to the day in 1952 with an incident that we've covered on this pod called the Big Flap, which was a massive sighting of UFOs, flying saucers, over the U.S. Capitol between July 26th and 29th, 30th of 1952.
Seen a video.
Which is right. actually a recreation.
Yeah, it's not real, right?
Right. Apparently, yeah. I think there's supposedly footage of this thing.
There is footage. There are numerous civilian sightings. It was reported widely in newspaper articles that you could still find. And the government shut down their own investigation. They brought people in and they were like, it was really covered up.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I think that in the midst of UFO paranoia and fascination that there was this bona fide sighting and everybody's like, what is going on?
I want a government job because it seems like anytime they get close to getting something cool, they're like, shut it down. I've never worked for a company where I'm like, I almost get the job done. I'm like, you know what? We're too close. We don't want people to know what I'm actually capable of here.
Well, the other thing that's funny is, and this is Bill Cooper, the guy mentioned that book. He has a story about when he was on a Navy submarine. He was on watch, port watch, and his buddy was on starboard watch. And he saw the ocean open up and a saucer fly out.
I think I've read this.
And then,
you're the right man for the
pod. He calls down to whoever the command on duty is, and they come up, and they're like, what did you see? And he's like, ah, shit, don't talk about this. And so now his buddy starts looking out, and they all see it. Like, with the naked eye, they see, the saucer come back down, ocean opens up. So then, he's like, do not talk about this. Next thing you know, a naval commander comes in and he asks Bill Cooper, what happened? And he tells him, and the guy's just the dude in Top Gun, the first one who runs the tower. And he's like, God damn it. I want some butts. starts flipping out.
I've never seen it. I only just watched the volleyball clips on YouTube. Okay. Is that weird?
And then he's like, so the guy says again, now what did you see? And he's like, nothing, sir. He's like, Navy needs men like you.
Oh.
And I'm like, that seems like
silent
the only
semen.
Way to get promoted in the Navy is just to pretend like you didn't see anything. Yeah. I could do that.
Now, do you think it's because they know and they don't want the public to find out? Or what would the other reason?
Maybe it's how some police are like, you know, I don't want to do the report on this.
That's a lot.
You got to come up. We got to have to actually make the report for UFOs. I got to hand draw all this shit. There's a whole thing.
I think the less you knew about that stuff, the more safe you felt in your career.
Right.
Yeah, there's a stigma for sure. I mean, pilots didn't report it for years, so it's
when pilots reported it and refused to back down, they lost their job. They got transferred. They ended up in terrible assignments, and they're just
discredited.
But that big flap incident, I think, really sets the stage for what we're going to talk about, which is this treaty from 1954. Now, this was what happened next in this saga is absolutely true, and that is that President Eisenhower went to Palm Springs in February of 1954. And he disappeared for 24 hours.
Really?
People did not know where President Eisenhower was. In fact, it was so bad that the Associated Press released a press release that got sent out on the wire that said, President Eisenhower died tonight of a heart attack in Palm Springs.
Oh, shit.
And then someone was like, no, he's not dead. We know where he is. He's just, because everyone was like, he's gone. He was here and everybody... There were rumors flying that he died. He had a heart attack. Well,
was it back in the day how it is now, where they have stories on deck? They're like, I know something's going to happen to this person. Let's just have a couple stories. It's like when they.
This isn't Biden, man.
When they elect the Pope or whatever, they're like, okay, they have two stories they'll run. They're like, this, okay, we just got to be ready. That's hilarious. It's like printing Super Bowl shirts. We got to have these ready. Yeah.
Right. Well, Nation Anals shirts.
Yeah. Which, that's a great shirt.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that's works the same. So if you send football shirts to third world countries, the teams that don't win, do we just send our bad news to countries? that we didn't print here. Like, it's the bad stories. We're just like, we got to run it somewhere.
This is what the Mandela effect is. It is. It's not.
Oh, yeah. It's just all the alternate versions of stories. Like,
they didn't know whether it was going to be Shazam or Kazam.
Oh, yeah.
And they sent one set of CDs to a third world country, and some of those have made it.
And then, now Uruguay has all the Berenstein looks.
Some non-anti-Semitic place has all the... He did not, in fact, have a heart attack. He would return the next morning, President Eisenhower, for a previously scheduled private appearance at a church. He would claim that he had gone because he chipped his tooth eating chicken wings.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. You know, because that happens.
Yeah, you got to get that marrow.
This is the part of the story that's least believable to me.
Yeah.
Not only has I've never heard of anyone eating chicken wings. I was like,
wait. You've never heard of people eating chicken wings?
Chipping a tooth. Okay. I ate some today.
I know, yeah. But I think we've had them together.
But also, I was like, I don't think people ate chicken wings in 1954.
You don't know how much Eisenhower loved chicken wings.
Yeah, that was his thing.
Well, let me just say this. I did look this up. Chicken wings were popularized by accident in 1964 in Buffalo. They were not a common cuisine. Now, I'm not saying the president didn't eat them in 1954.
Right. But yeah, that's a weird. Yeah.
It's weird that they
were. Wait. I'm sorry. I missed. What was the year that they were created by accident?
64 in Buffalo, New York.
So 10 years later.
So, and like, it's important because what happened is that a couple owned a restaurant. The wife accidentally ordered chicken wings and not chicken necks.
Okay. Oh, they were like, this woman's crazy. Yeah. She wants the wings. It's a neck joint.
Apparently, they used chicken neck in their secret spaghetti sauce. And so they were like, what are we going to do with these wings? Huh. Well, let's just fry them and let people eat them. Chicken wings were like the shit food for.
Yeah, it was like lobster for prisoners back in the day.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think presidents were. I'm telling you, I think the chicken wing thing is the biggest.
Yeah, that's a red flag. Yeah.
Also, I don't understand why, if the president chipped his tooth, why you would whisk him away without any announcement.
Right.
Why would you just bring a dentist to him?
For 24 hours.
Don't they have a dentist on staff?
Yeah, that's what, it doesn't make any sense.
Were there signs of a fixed tooth or any sort of like dental surgery?
Nope. And in fact, in 1979, a researcher went to go find the dentist who was dead, but interviewed his wife, and oddly enough, she had no recollection of her husband treating the president in any way.
You talk about that.
But they, the next day, went to a dinner together for the president, and her husband was introduced several times as the dentist who worked on President Eisenhower. And she was like, I thought it weird because he hadn't mentioned that.
That's weird.
Yeah. I mean, if you work on the president, you're coming home that day.
Yeah, honey. Yeah. Guess what?
Chicken all in his teeth.
You don't believe this guy's fucking biting chicken wings.
Yeah.
Fucking through the bone.
Also, if chicken wings weren't invented till 10 years later, he was just eating dry chicken wings. There was no buffalo sauce.
There's no buffalo sauce.
Oh, what a savage. Just no sauce on wings?
I'm not saying the chicken wing hadn't been invented. I'm just saying the idea.
I mean, chickens have wings for a long time.
Yeah, chickens have been known to have wings.
That's the age-old question.
They made like dog food stuff out of, chicken wings.
Oh, really?
And now it's like $40 a pound. You can't afford wings anymore.
There was a shortage a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I paid $17.99 for 10 wings recently.
Jesus.
$17.99.
How hungry are you? Like, there's other options.
It's like, could have happened to a 25-cent wing.
You could have gotten a steak.
You could have.
Okay. Also, people have looked at the official records because apparently all medical procedures done on the president are actually public information and have been for some time. There is no record in 1954 of Eisenhower having any dental work done. And from that trip specifically, there is extensive records of all correspondence with people that he met while on his trip, like thank you letters. So they sent a thank you letter to, like, he played golf at this guy's golf course. He did this at this place. Not a single correspondence with this this dentist post trip.
Okay.
This has led everybody to believe this entire dental trip was just a ruse for what Eisenhower was really doing in 1954, which was taking a trip to Edwards Air Force Base to negotiate a treaty.
Okay.
Which would later be called the Greata Treaty. He first met at this Edwards Air Force Base with two extraterrestrial representatives that were what are known as the Nordics. Now,
okay.
Do you know, like, there's like multiple different types of extraterrestrials that have visited the Earth?
I mean, I've heard. I don't know.
I'm not personally met them all.
Heard of like the Nordic, like
the Nordics,
tall, yeah. blonde,
pale, like blue-eyed. Yeah, like the Valiant Thor. So he met with the Nordics.
Okay,
and they were willing to share their technology and knowledge on one condition.
Chicken wings.
Yeah, that's it. They're like, but buffalo sauce hadn't been invented. They're like, we got sauce at home. Like,
you won't believe this shit. In 10 years? You
should see the sauce we got.
Man.
Well, this is no, they said you got to dismantle your nuclear program. Mm. Apparently, the nuclear program is a problem for certain alien races. Okay. Like, the detonation of nuclear energy at a certain level interferes with something on their home planets, and they're worried about it.
There's this speculation nowadays that they've talked about how timelines are basically sit next to each other, mm-hmm. and nuclear explosions kind of affect all timelines.
That makes sense to me.
Like if you have pages of a book and you shoot a bullet through it, it kind of affects everything.
Yeah,
And so that's one of the hypotheses behind why.
Also,
that's an
issue. Wouldn't you think that like a nuclear explosion? Like, we see the catastrophic effects on the ground level, but it has to send something into this. Like, it has to send some kind of wave.
Yeah, electromagnetic. Those waves keep traveling.
They would keep traveling, it would seem like.
And
yeah.
I think that's what happened with the guys in Superman 3 or something.
There. Oh, yeah.
They got hit with like
or
a...
Two? Which
was that
was
two?
It? I don't know.
They were really shitty after
the
one.
Three? Yeah. The, Zed or
Zed, yeah. Zod.
Zod, yeah.
Zod.
Yeah.
I just remember the Richard Pryor one, and that was so terrifying as a kid because, like, the machines, like, basically turned him into a robot.
I don't know if I ever saw the Richard Pryor.
It's great.
Was that the third one?
He figures out.
What the fuck? You know what the capers? That's more Cosby, sorry.
No, they were pretty similar in their voice back then.
He figures out the ingredients to a kryptonite,
mm-hmm.
but he is like. 0.1% is unknown, you know, so he makes kryptonite, but he's like, he literally looks at like a pack of cigarettes and he's like, well, tar, and he puts tar as like the missing ingredient, so it doesn't kill Superman, it just turns him in, it just creates a second
he starts craving it.
yeah exactly.
It's just a really bad Superman. It's really funny.
Awesome.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's fun.
I have seen what's the movie where he's like, The Toy. I saw that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a
Richard Pryor's
ridiculous movie.
With Gene Wilder in The Toy?
That one?
No, Gene Wilder's not in it.
Oh, wait.
It's the kid who turned into a porn star later.
Screech from
No.
I don't know this.
Shit. What's his name was in it? Jackie Gleason.
Oh, yeah. Jackie.
They would never make this movie. He's basically like a slave for this kid.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't sound
And they
good.
Hire Richard Pryor to, like, he takes him every year on his birthday to get him any toy he wants in the whole, he owns, like, a chain of department stores.
Oh, yeah.
Scott Schwartz?
And Richard Pryor is playing the janitor, and he's cleaning up with his headphones on when they come in, and he's like, messing with this toy, and the kid starts laughing at him. He's like, I want him.
Oh, yeah, that's fucked. Holy crap.
You never seen the toy?
No. I always saw it.
I guess it used to come on HBO
store.
All the time.
I saw the blind. What is the one with.
Hear No Evil, See No Evil?
Hear No Evil, See No Evil.
Yeah.
I just remember when he got the Klan to push the truck out of the mud.
Those 80s movies are crazy.
They got away with a lot of fun stuff.
My favorite is Trading Places,
yeah,
which is awesome, and then Dan Aykroyd's in blackface, and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah,
happened?
It's like a Jamaican dude, right?
Yeah, took a hard turn.
It's like, was this necessary?
Yeah, well, come on. There's other costumes.
Well, the what happened after the Nordic Treaty, because Eisenhower wasn't willing to let go of the nuclear program. It's 1954. He's like, it's key that we have this to keep peace on Earth. He did sign a couple months later a treaty with the Greys.
Okay.
Now the Greys are like, if you're listening and you think alien, you're thinking of a Grey, that
big
eyes, big head. Yeah. So
sexy.
And then So we're going to hear a clip.
All right.
From Bill Cooper, author of Behold a Pale Horse. This is him talking about the treaty from 1954,
okay.
The Griotta Treaty.
On the appointed day, the president was spirited away to the base, and the excuse was given to the press that he was visiting the dentist for a toothache. President Eisenhower met with the aliens in a formal treaty between the alien nation and the United States of America was signed. We then received our first alien ambassador from outer space. His name and title, and I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's absolutely true. His name and title was His Omnipotent Highness Krill, pronounced Krill, spelled K-R-L-L-L or C-R-L-L-L. In the American tradition of disdain for royal titles, he was secretly called Original Hostage Krill or O-H Krill. So that Americans would not have to say, Your Omnipotent Highness.
Like a king, your like
omnipotent
your highness?
Highness. Yeah, like Your Omnipotent Highness Krill was our ambassador's name, the O.H. Krill.
Huh. O.H.
O.H. Krill.
O.G.
O.G. O.H. Krill. O.H. Krill.
Yeah.
And so you're hearing Bill Cooper. Now, I know that you hear that clip, you think, well, Bill Cooper sounds like a madman. The reason that I think Bill Cooper became important was because in June of 2001, Bill Cooper, if you don't know, he had a radio show that was like a satellite, like a what's that dorky radio frequency that
people AM?
Shortwave radio, like on Stranger Things. I would love to have
shortwave
ham
great.
Radio.
That's
is that what it,
ham shortwave is more powerful than anything? Like
I mean, ham radio.
Ham radio.
He had a
okay.
ham radio okay. station.
Okay,
very influential for like Alex Jones, the Q World, all that stuff. He was very influential radio host. But in 2001. CNN ran a special report where like a CNN reporter was inside of a
with those
Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
And he was
CNN.
Like,
you're the best. Yeah. You ought to be the co-host. Fuck yeah. Get you
so he was like, Osama bin Laden, the guy that no one can find. CNN just waltzes in with his camera and gets an interview with a guy that no one can find. Like, yeah, you're being lied to.
Yeah,
he's like, worse than that, they're preparing you for something. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be a major attack on a U.S. city like New York in the upcoming months. And they're going to blame it on Osama bin Laden. And then 9/11 hit and everybody was like, holy shit, let's go back and look at everything this guy's ever said. And it's eerie how many things he predicted.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Like a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he was the one that like really drew me in. Because like when you first get into conspiracies, you're like... Some of these guys are fucking loons, dude.
Yeah, he doesn't seem loony.
There was something about him.
Yeah.
And the fact that he pretty much was killed.
Yeah, he was pretty much killed off.
Yeah. Those are the ones that I always kind of like took a second look at.
Yeah. His thing, if you read his bio, it's, I mean, like he had top secret government clearance. Like, he talks about this limo after like he revealed his first, you know, like whistleblow. Like a limo, like followed him and forced him to jump off a cliff, and they like came up to him and took his pulse, and he was about to die. They thought he was going to die, and they were like, "Next time we will kill you." And he climbed out of the cliff. And
I feel like a limo is not like a good undercover car to chase somebody with.
Like a limo,
yeah. It's like I've been like a regular car. You're like, "Am I being followed?" I don't know, but a limo follows you for a fucking 20 blocks. You're like, "This guy."
What's the best car to follow somebody with? Probably a police car.
A bike.
A bike.
If you're fast enough, you'll be like, this guy can't tail me. Yeah. How's he doing?
It's not threatening.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, he, Bill Cooper, he goes on in that video that we just played to claim that what happened was there was an exchange program between the Greys and the U.S. And here's what the treaty was. We're going to give you guys 16 Greys. You're going to give us 16 humans.
Okay.
And those humans were sent off the planet. And
they were like, Richard Pryor, I want that one. Like, we only have one toy. Richard Pryor.
It's just the toy. It's the toy, but aliens.
Yeah,
chose.
Exactly.
That's great. All these decisions, by the way, were made by the Majestic 12, which the Majestic 12 is another conspiracy. Came out in the 80s where a guy uncovered government documents describing a group of 12 people that were the major liaisons between us and all interactions with aliens on the planet. So they made 16 guys. They said, boom, you guys go off planet. We get 16. You guys are going to give us technology, right, which we've had since 1947 when the Roswell crash happened, but we haven't been able to really figure it out. So we want this tech. And in exchange, we're going to let you guys do research on cows and people. Okay. Like, you can do experiments if you want to. And so as long, and they were like, no, great. The people won't remember the experiments. There'll be a few dead cows.
Sounds like
here
they kind of got the shit into that deal.
Yeah, the cows.
You get some dumb humans and some cows.
Yeah, that's true.
We get all your technology.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's a shit trade for sure.
Well, I will say that the other thing they did is they agreed to build two underground bases in order to aid the aliens in their pursuit of understanding humans and also to build the technology. One of them you guys have probably heard of, which is S4.
Oh, yeah.
Which is S4 is the secret underground base in Area 51.
Okay.
Where Bob Lazar worked, or at least claimed to work.
I don't think he's ever
produced any physical evidence that he worked there.
But there have been people that claim that he did work there. Yes. So there is corroboration.
Story stays the same, though.
It does. Yeah. He's been consistent for sure.
Yeah. If you're listening and you don't know what we're talking about, Bob Lazar is a pretty famous ufologist who claims that he worked on alien technology underground in S4, which is a secret underground base at Area 51.
Did Bob claim to work with, like, Grace? Yeah.
I don't know if he claimed to work at Grace. He just claimed to work on, like,
the race. I thought he witnessed a battle, like a labor dispute with the
I don't remember.
Maybe I'm thinking of someone else.
Not long enough coffee break.
Yeah, don't let them unionize those Grays. We got another Amazon on our hands.
Yeah. The whole treaty was memorialized in a soft disclosure blockbuster Hollywood film.
Okay. Dirty Dancing?
Very close.
Oh, no. Is it?
No.
Shut up.
Dirty Dancing.
Can you think of a...
Independence Day.
No, a treaty. There's an encounter.
Oh, I don't know.
A treaty is signed.
Close Encounters?
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah.
Is actually based upon this incident. It's when they basically exchanged people. And
was that in the movie? I don't think I've ever seen.
I mean, people got on the ship at the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. There's an agreement. There's some discussion.
There's real interesting. Steven Spielberg actually was in contact with the military for that whole thing, and actually was based on an actual event, which is
crazy. That's what I'm saying. This was the event that supposedly gave rise to the entire Close Encounter.
Crazy.
So they built these two bases. The other one, less well known, probably more important, is the base at Dulce, New Mexico. Now, this is a completely subterranean base. According to multiple people who worked there, it was 6 stories deep. And it was built specifically to allow aliens and humans to work together on technology. Hmm. Now, the first sign of anything that was wrong came in the 1970s when a New Mexico state trooper by the name of Gabriel Valdez began to report on an abnormal number of cow mutilations in the area. Hmm. And he was convinced... Because, of course, every time there's a cow mutilation, people are like, it's coyotes or wolves or that
it's not
damn Sasquatch.
Who smelt it, dealt it situation. It's are you sure it's not you, officer?
Yeah. We also found condoms near the cow, sir. Yeah.
And your badge.
So, you know what he did find near him was gas masks, which I guess maybe doesn't seem that odd after that joke. But But no, he saw gas masks in the air, and he's like, this was clearly somebody experimenting. And then he found a pregnant cow that was dead, but the fetus inside was a cow monkey frog hybrid.
Wow.
Or he said that's what it looked like.
Okay.
Man.
I can't imagine what that looks like.
That's a bad way to find out you've been sleeping around with crazy things. Like, sorry.
You might have just been a slutty cow.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how cows.
Yeah. It's like, I like all types.
Heifer.
Well, yeah. Even though Dulce, New Mexico, is only a town to this day of less than 3,000 people, it became a hotbed for extraterrestrial sights. People, multiple people claim to have seen what they call sophisticated aircraft.
Okay.
Like things that are like moving in odd patterns. And then in 1979, Paul Benowitz, who was a physicist and Albuquerque businessman, began interpreting electric signals that he was receiving from underground in Dulce. And they were transmitting at a frequency that was too high for humans to hear. He picked up on it because of his work in physics.
Okay.
He detected these signals and he traced them to Dulce, and they were like transmitting in a pit or a frequency that humans cannot hear or even intercept with normal equipment. There was a guy named Phil Schneider. This is the guy that had the labor dispute. He said that he helped build the six floors of Dulce.
Okay.
He's the guy we were talking about with old YouTube videos, just a fucking whack job on YouTube.
And he was doing this when he wasn't singing with the B-52s?
Oh, is that who Phil Schneider?
Oh, that's Fred. Fred Schneider.
Okay, close.
It's like, well, yeah, this guy's all over the map with this stuff.
If you ever want to just watch 30 minutes of just a nut job, Phil Schneider's your guy. He's on YouTube.
Wait, Phil Schneider. Shit, is he on those like Prophecy Club videos?
I think he might
be. Oh, man.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
Prophecy Club. Apparently there was like a labor dispute at some point with the aliens. And like they were like, no, we're not doing that. And they were like, yes, you are. Like, you work for us. And they got in a huge fight.
Huh.
And he's drawn out, I will say this for Phil Schneider, he has drawn out elaborate, detailed plans of Dulce.
Uh-huh.
And people that worked there were like, yeah, I don't know how he, but that's pretty dead on.
I was going to say, I was like, pretty people do D&D maps all the time. He can't, like, it doesn't prove that he was there.
I mean, like, it's pretty.
The Gorgon is on level 2.
I don't know how hard it is to draw something that you're like six stories underground. They're like, whoa. He got all six floors with stairs and an elevator. This guy was.
I can't draw something that's right in front of me. So
I'm the same way. I can't even trace things well.
Yeah.
Like, I'm terrible at drawing. His diagrams that he drew showed that there were multiple alien races who lived in Dulce that had their own floors. So the Greys had a floor, the Reptilians had a floor, the Nordics had a floor. Like, eventually Dulce became this place where all the sort of aliens that we had sort of, you know, treated with were able to work and live. And there was this sort of exchange program going on. And it was all overseen by the Majestic 12.
Hmm.
And it all was rooted in this treaty from 1954, which, by the way, the Greys apparently completely violated the terms of the treaty.
Oh, really?
They were only supposed to, like, experiment on, like...
Fucking Greys. You can't trust those Greys.
No, little shitheads. Also, I thought Greys were supposed to be... What they say is that the Greys are, like... They're not actually living. They're just, like, avatars.
Yeah, that's right.
They're, like, little drones that they've sent from somewhere else. So they're actually little robots. That's what they say. They. Mm. You know they.
That's what they want you to think.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know, man.
No, I'm not questioning.
I mean, that's like your opinion, man.
Yeah,
that's
your opinion, man.
I like the idea of six floors of like a, it's like a college dorm.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a co-ed dorm, but they separate the,
yeah.
The what?
How do you think the floor goes subterranean? Are you on floor one and then it's like.
That's a good question.
That's how we know if this guy's lying or not.
I would think maybe it goes in reverse.
So the six floors, the bottom
floor.
So one,
two, three, four, five, six.
I mean, I don't know.
Never thought about that.
I don't know. What do space numbers follow? I don't know.
That's the thing to ask Phil Schneider.
Yeah, do they go ascending or
descending? Tell me the numbers on the elevator. How do they go? And he's like,
sideways.
Stairs.
Yeah.
Fucking liar.
I just find it weird that, like you're saying, like it's a co-ed dorm. Like, why don't they intermix the races. This feels weird, right? Like, yeah. Why would they be like, oh, the Japanese kids are on floor three?
It's very Jim Crow.
Not cool.
I'll tell you why.
Oh, okay. You got an answer. Perfect.
All right. Because the thermostat. Very different thermostat controls for reptilians and grays.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, reptilians probably like it.
Very warm. Yeah. Grays like it very cold. They're from a very different planet. Okay. It's polar caps.
I like that.
Reptilians want it hot. They're trying to make it seem like they're home as much as possible.
So reptilians are on the top floor then, probably.
They're probably higher up. The sixth floor apparently is called Nightmare Hall, and it's apparently where like all the worst shit happens. It's where all like the...
I thought you said Nightmare. I was like,
Nightmare.
I'm the mayor of this.
Oh, mayor. Nightmare.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's weird they would name it that. Like, wouldn't you want it to, like, usually they name things opposite. So it is opposite.
Like, you walk in and it's like that tasting room in Willy Wonka. Yeah. It's like all just candy. You can eat everything. It apparently is where they're like, hey, we got some fresh cows in. Come do your experiments, and it's just constant screams and torture down there.
Damn.
Where they like, we're gonna let people do this. They're giving us advanced technology. We're just giving them people to mutilate.
Has anyone ever? Is there any like proof of Dolce?
This is like
this base.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's good. That's like a really good question.
It's like, well, someone must have escaped with a map, and
that's a really good question.
Yeah.
The answer is yes. The Dolce base is in fact real. Yeah. It is a completely underground base. It is built on Native American reservation land, which I find interesting because they could have built it anywhere. It was completed in 1957 after the federal government allocated a massive amount of money for the completion of both S4 and Dolce. Why they built both of those under Native American land, the speculation is that because reservation land has weird laws that govern who can cross it, and the government could found that they could sort of circumvent some problematic legal issues by burying it under Native American land. But it does exist.
Okay.
It supposedly has been abandoned in the last, say, decade, but locals know exactly where it is because – you see military trucks driving in one direction and you never see them return. Like, that's a one-way road into the mountain.
Hmm. Yeah.
And then they're gone.
That's just it's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's shutting down and they're like talking to the reptiles and the greys. Like, guys, I don't know how to tell you this. We're going to let you go. Yeah. And they're like, where the fuck do we go?
I've been working 4 years for my pension.
Yeah. I picture like the little Men in Black guys that are always like.
Yeah, they're just.
Yeah. What do you expect me to do? I'm 184. I'm a reptile. What am I going to work at Walmart? Is it Peter? Yeah.
I don't know why he has this accent.
It's good, I think. Yeah. I mean, that's tough. Where do they go after that? I mean, do they go back home?
At least one person in Dolce, by the way, has said that the alien fight that was described was because in building it, they encountered a subterranean tunnel, which led to an alien like cavern underneath the ground. Wow. So that in doing this, they specifically chose this location because they knew it was close to these like hollow earth aliens that have lived subterranean for, that's another whole theory, but so that's another wrinkle on this whole.
I like the hollow earth theory.
It's
fun to think about.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I get off on this treaty idea because here's why I like it. There's some things I don't like about it. This is what I like about it. If you're president, right, and you say, I want the truth, and someone's like, okay, yeah, there's aliens here. We've known about it since 47. We had our first contact. There's these different types. Here's the Red Book. It journals. It contains every contact, a summary of every contact we've had with aliens. If you're a president, you're like, well, I want to talk to them. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can sign a treaty. Maybe we can work with these people.
Oh, yeah.
That just seems to me to be the logical choice of anybody. Eisenhower had just led the country through a war. He was someone that was familiar with the horrors of war. He seems to me to be the kind of president who would have said, let's at least talk to these guys.
Right.
Right. Like, set up a meeting. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Well,
are the presidents really the ones making the decisions?
Right. Yeah.
No, they're probably not.
Yeah.
In some sense, maybe this is all just part of like a way to placate the powers that be while the real people, which, by the way, that is Bill Cooper's theory, is that richest of the rich have always been playing chess on a level that you and I don't understand. These moves are just them sacrificing a rook in order to win the ultimate game, which is preservation of a very small set of extremely wealthy bloodlines in the oncoming catastrophic demise of our world. Happy Tuesday.
Fun stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy. So what was the treaty? When did the treaty, what were the years that it said this is in effect to when it ends?
Oh, that's a good question.
Because I think that, I don't know. I think that there was something that was spoken about how there's going to be an end date soon. And that's why disclosure is happening, because we're coming up on the end of this treaty. And after that, gates are open and we're fucked.
They're saying,
interesting,
right? So when the treaty ends, the aliens are like, we're done. We gave you the technology.
You gave us 12 idiots.
you gave us cow.
Yeah,
we got
mad cow disease.
We had a lot of cheeseburgers and then we were done.
Yeah.
Are y'all familiar with Admiral Byrd?
The one who went to the Antarctic?
Yeah, who apparently like made contact with these Nordic people as well.
Yes, he did.
From his journals, if they're real.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But was that around the same
Around the same time. Post-World War II is when Admiral Byrd had his first encounter with Nordic aliens. Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering about that.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I am fascinated by the deep underground military base theory, which Dolce is only one of them, although the most important. The deep underground, or DUMS, the deep underground military bases, is a network of subterranean tunnels which connect all these bases together. Now, people with more smarts than me would say, well, yeah, because they don't want to transport weaponry through the ground, because Russians have satellites and they can track air. Yeah. So that's how they move all of our top secret weapons. And when I'm like, yeah, you mean the ones that we created from alien technology, right? Like,
yeah.
Right. I mean, so many people that work in these bases come out and they're like, I've never signed a confidentiality agreement that like you didn't know what you were working on.
It's so compartmentalized.
You don't know. You could literally, they all said, like, you could be sitting next to someone that you've worked with for 20 years and you wouldn't recognize or know them.
Yeah. I had a friend growing up whose dad, I think he worked for the CIA. I can't remember. I mean, honestly, he would never really tell us, but I have no clue what he worked on, and he would not.
Yeah.
My friend's dad would always try to, like, you know, come on.
Who'd you fucking shoot?
Tell me something. Tell me something. He would be like, nope. Can't do
it.
I mean, I get it. You know, loose lips sink ships.
Yeah. Sink spaceships.
Yeah.
We got to make that poster. I'm going to sell that.
Yeah. I think there's probably something to this.
Why is it called Griotta?
You would think that would be something I would research prior to the pod.
It's
like Granada without an N. It's Griotta.
Okay.
Hello, Mata. Hello, Mata. Signed a treaty called Griotta.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Griotta, yeah. It was...
That's good.
I think there's something to this. Let me say this. I don't think the Dennis story checks out.
No.
That's the worst
fucking story they could come up with.
Yeah,
it's sad when we believe aliens more than we believe the buffaloes.
Wings. Fire your press secretary.
Who came up with this cockamamie story?
Where's the spin doctors when you need them?
You don't disappear the president because he got a toothache from eating a chicken wing. You bring a guy in. You don't go out of town. It's not like this guy was like the best dentist in the world.
Yeah. Also, anyone knows that if you're trying to get out of something, you say you have diarrhea. Like, you don't say I have a broken tooth, because you can check on that.
Well,
diarrhea.
Right. Yeah,
like,
but
silent.
And then they had already leaked that he was maybe dead.
Oh,
right.
And then they're like, oh, no, he just chipped his tooth.
Yeah.
We thought he was a goner.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't make any difference.
Well, that's a really bad headline to correct. Breaking news, president not dead. We meant chipped a tooth.
We have a minor retraction.
It hurts so bad he said he wishes he were dead.
He
Sorry
screamed like he was dead. He screamed like the people at the bottom of Dulce Base. We're not sure if it's level one or six, but he was screaming Nightmare like he was hole. There.
Yeah, I think that the Dennis story's bullshit. I think he did go and meet with aliens. I just don't know why you would sign a treaty with aliens. Or maybe why I don't understand why you just wouldn't give up nuclear weapons.
Well, because
they were going to give us even more technology.
I get annoyed by the idea that if there's these alien races, they're still like, hey, let's do some paperwork.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's just fucking so dumb to
they
me.
Can speak with their mind and they're like, let's sign this thing.
You know what? We need to keep up your John Hancock right here. I don't know. That just seems ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a little
Why
weird.
Do they need our permission to mutilate cows?
Just
keep
it.
Doing it. Yeah. Like, what are we going to do?
Just do a show of force. Take our cows, blow up our nukes, and be like, this is what we do.
Yeah, they could have taken 12 people without giving us anything, it seems like.
Well, they pretty much did. I think it was like, I think they were just like, okay, yeah, you want a treaty here. We signed it.
Yeah.
We're just going to
keep
it.
Maybe the treaty was our idea.
It probably, I would assume it was. Yeah.
That sounds like some,
something
we would do.
Back in the 50s, paper was huge.
It sounds like something stupid humans came up with.
For sure. I'm still stuck on why is it the Majestic 12 when you need. Like 13 would make a split vote. Like 12, you could have a standstill in any decision you try to make. Like, shouldn't it be an odd number in a group of people so you can always break the tie?
You mean like the 100 senators we have?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. That's a dumb. Who came up with that shit? Aliens?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think.
Yeah.
I think always having a person to break the tie is kind of overrated.
You think? I guess 12 angry men. Yeah, it's kind of a thing not to have it. I guess
Don't you think? Because I feel like if there's one person that can break a tie, there's always some dickhead in the group that wants to be that guy so that he just gets
true.
Additional power.
Yeah, that's true.
How many people are in a jury?
12.
12. Yep. Okay, and there you go.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, you're right. I think you're right. I changed my.
Don't you think? Game. Don't you know what I'm talking about? Like, it was always like,
you swayed me.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there. I have five. I have three kids. We have five people in my family. If we're deciding where to go to lunch, and God forbid my 10-year-old has the deciding vote,
you're fucked.
He's like fucking negotiating for shit, you know? And he's like, well, I'll go there if we get ice cream afterwards. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Sounds like my 6-year-old.
It's like, I'm not going to be fucking held hostage by a 10-year-old. Right. I'm just going to go where I want. You guys can eat shit. I don't care.
Yeah, who's paying? He's not paying.
So I don't like that. I don't like the odd guy. Right, gets to break
you're
the
right. I'm, okay. Yeah, fuck odd numbers.
I won one argument finally.
Yeah, finally.
I'm in on this one. Yeah. I mean, I'm not. When I say I'm in, I'm not really. I mean, like.
Yeah. It's a fun one.
It's fun. I don't see anything. I mean. I think that Bill Cooper seeing a ocean portal open up and seeing a ship that was then witnessed by several other people and an officer and a naval officer came out to interview all of them. That's the most believable part to me of Bill Cooper's story.
Yeah, because we have more confirmation now. People have come
out. Yeah, because
lots of
he said that
out.
Way before all the UAP when everybody was like, we've all seen this stuff. Yeah. So something is coming out of the ocean. Mm. It's either our advanced technology that we learned from someone or it's someone else's advanced technology.
Yeah.
And do I think that stuff happens in a vacuum? I don't. I think it's built in underground, deep military bases or places that the average person can't see.
Yeah.
And if it's Dulce, I think that just makes somewhere. It's somewhere and it might as well be there to me.
Yeah. I like it.
You know, that's my final thought.
Okay. I'll give mine. Yeah, I think this is probably a thing. Sure. I think military bases are created all the time. I don't know why. Why did they? We don't know why you shut down Dulce Base.
I have not. Well, shut down.
Oh.
I mean.
Maybe it's just like, this shut down, so stop asking about it.
Yeah, that's what people think. Okay. They think it's still in operation, but maybe it's because the treaty's about to end and they're about to be like, and then the whole fleet's going to fly out of a mountain in New Mexico.
Yeah. No, I love it. This is one of my favorite ones because it you can really delve deep into what the different levels are. And I think we've talked about this before because one of the levels. Isn't that where, not the coronavisor, that's obviously somewhere else, but there's something like that there, isn't there? That's that, isn't the giant, isn't there a rabbit, the golden that's rabbit
the,
or something?
That's the Alice floor.
Yeah.
But that's not at Dolce.
Oh, where is that?
It's at S4.
Oh, that is at S4.
That's
okay,
at S4. Okay. That's the time tunneling device.
Oh, that's
or the
right.
one that, it's this crazy device that can like record snippets from the future, like brief clips. And like it's stored in an unstructured database. So you can go and watch the future. The problem is that like a 10-second clip of the future is really hard to put into
with
context.
No context, yeah.
Yeah, it's just really hard. But you know who supposedly, allegedly worked on that project is Matt Groening of The Simpsons, which is why people...
That would explain a lot.
Yeah.
That's why they
yeah.
think that he has so many of these little things that like only later on are they like, oh, how did he know that? And it's like he's had access to this Alice level.
Yeah, we should revisit that. We got a lot we got to revisit since we don't see him anymore. We have all those.
The Alice level is crazy.
Yeah.
No, there's a time tunnel, or not a time tunnel, but there's a portal to Pine Gap, Australia there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I love that.
Yeah, I think it was like our second episode, Time Tunnel Workers Union.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah.
We're just stroking our own.
no one will ever hear. Anyway, I believe it. It's fun. What's your final thought, Dan?
I like it. It's cool. I kind of knew you were right. I knew like bits and pieces of it, but I had never really heard about it. So something new to think about. I was always a Bill Cooper fan, so that's cool.
Bill Cooper's interesting.
I included a snippet of Bill Cooper on one of my solo albums, actually.
Oh, nice.
A long time ago.
Hell yeah.
That's cool.
So yeah, it's fun. I like it.
Yeah. I think it fits in the we've been struggling with a name change for a while because conspiracies are so loaded right now. It's just kind of have ruined a lot for us, but we just want to make them fun again. And this is one that's fun. It's like...
They get a little heavy.
Cows. Yeah, it doesn't hurt us.
Yeah, Ike in 1954 eating chicken wings negotiating with aliens.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah, I've brought you some local food. It won't be available to the public until 1964.
It's an alien. It's a little gray alien with a little paper hat on it. He's like,
that's what they saw, like a 10-second clip of someone eating a chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they did. We keep giving them cows, and they're like, where are the chickens we were promised?
That's right.
They're inside the cows. All right. Okay. Man, this has been really fun.
Yeah,
I hope
great.
We can have you back on for another episode, man. Yeah.
I would love to come back.
Yeah.
This is right up my alley.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll do that. And until then, where can our listeners find and follow you, or maybe even see you perform live if they choose?
Instagram, it's at @tab1, @tab_one. Same on Twitter. I'm not on there very much. tab1. tab-one.bandcamp.com if you want to get my my latest album.
Awesome.
Called Glory in the Weight. CoolieHigh.com. Coolie spelled with a K. KOOLEYHIGH. I'll be at the Poorhouse in Raleigh on the 27th, opening for rapper Big Pooh of Little Brother.
Great show. And nice. Shame Gang will be there, right?
Yeah, Shame Gang.
When you were with them at the Lincoln Theater, that show was so good.
Was back in the day. Yeah.
That was like right before. Was it before pandemic? I think it was like.
Yeah.
Right, that was. Before.
Oh
so
yeah, yeah.
Good. Yeah.
That was fun.
Let me tell you, this is hilarious. So, Mike Mello, you know Mike Mello?
Yeah.
So we're there watching, and we were watching the show, and we're like, God damn, does Tab just do thigh workouts all day long? We're just like, that's what we're like. You're like rapping. We're like, those thighs are cut. What the fuck? We're like, feel like pieces of shit back here watching. Like, and we're like, all we can do. And I pointed out to my wife. I was like, God damn, look at those legs.
That's funny.
You're not even listening to the music.
I wasn't. I was like, God damn.
Like, what's his workout routine?
That's probably dad legs. That's probably just picking up kids all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's genetics. My dad was a football player. He played at NC State. Actually.
Oh,
nice.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Man, that's
sorry. I cut you
okay, Poorhouse, 27th. Shit. Oh, I'll be at Hopscotch.
Nice.
I'm playing at Slim's on Friday. Whatever. Go to hopscotch.com. I don't know.
It'll be the same weekend as the Campout Festival.
Right.
So it'll be the 10th.
Okay. But you guys should go to the Campout Festival.
Yeah. No. Go to Hopscotch.
You can go to both.
Go to both. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Hopscotch. I'll be performing that the Friday night at 11 p.m. at
Slim's, and then Cooley High will be at the Poorhouse on October 1st. And
nice.
Be our first show in like 2 years. So.
Oh, hell yeah. Very good. Yeah. Be fun.
So awesome. Come out. Check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much.
Dude, this has been great,
fun, man.
Hell yeah.
It's a blast. Well, thanks for coming in. As always, we're Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm still Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith, and this was
Tab One.
Peace.